morning, just standing here before you, sharing some truth from the Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ, about God and His love for us. You know, I hope you know today that there's a God in heaven that loves you, that sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sin. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The last thing on the heart of God today is that a desire for you to go to hell. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The problem is, God created us with a will. Man used that will against God, decided against God, and has rebelled against God. And that's the vast majority of people in our world today are against God. The Bible says, "Wide is the way that leads to destruction, many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, few there be that find it." There are very few people today opening up a Bible. Very few people taking their kids to church. Very few people opening up a Bible with their kids at night, reading the Bible to them, speaking to them about the things of God. And yet God has given us a book. It's a precious book. The Bible says that the way to salvation is by faith, or by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And again, so many people today are walking through life with their ears plugged, saying there is no God because I can't hear Him. They've got their eyes closed, and they say there is no God because I can't see Him. They got their brain shut off, and they say there is no God because I don't think about Him. But I'll tell you today that there is a God in heaven, and that those that would stop looking, listen, can observe today that there is a God. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. You know, 2 days ago, the world paused, everyone stopped, stood, and listened, and looked up and watched the moon go perfectly over the sun. It's called an eclipse. It was perfect because God designed it that way. It was perfect because God made it that way. The moon is something like 400 times smaller than the sun. The sun is something like 400 times further away than the moon. It's a perfect ratio so that when that happens, we ought to stop, look, and listen and say there's got to be a God. All the design that's in this life, from minutia to the grandeur that is there, speaks loudly the fact that there is a God. You can look under a microscope and you can see incredible colors, you can see incredible beauty, you can see incredible things that, you know, we can't just observe with our eyes, but when we can look into that with that microscope, we see that incredible beauty that speaks about God. When we look up to heaven, things that are far out there that we've never seen before, now we see them in ways that no other generation has been able to see the beauty and the wonder of it. All those things speak to us about the fact that there is a God. Yet again, very sadly, in the world today, most people are walking through life so they can see incredible things in the distance, they can see incredible things in this earth, yet they close their eyes, shut their ears, and say, there is no God. Friend, there is a God today, and I want to speak to you about Him. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved you so much that He went to the cross for your sin. The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." There's none righteous, the Bible says, no, not one. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You might be a nice person, you might be a friendly person, but I'll tell you today, you're not a good person because there is none good, no, not one. The prisons are full of people that are good people. I'll tell you, I've been in the prisons, I've spoken to people there. They're nice people, they're kind people, they're friendly people. And a lot of people say, well, they're good people, but I'll tell you this, we understand they're not good people, they're in prison. There's a reason they're in prison, because they committed a crime. Listen, we are not good people today. We are bad people because the Bible says that sin is bad. Why? Because sin separates us from God. Sin violates the holy word of God. Sin is the breaking of God's law. Sin is the transgression of the law. Again, I look at people today, you might be kind, you might be friendly, you might be a good thing for other people, but I'll tell you today that by the authority of the Word of God, all of us are sinners. The problem is that in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." Sadly, because man sinned against God, God has done the only thing that He can do with somebody like that, and has sentenced them to an eternity in a lake of fire away from Him. The Bible says about hell that was created for the devil and his angels. It was not created for you and me, but it was created for Satan and his angels that rebelled in pride against God. And yet the Bible says that all sinners shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It says that in Revelation chapter 20. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. The dead were judged out of those books according to their works. And then it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Friend, that's you and that's me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. It's not today that as a preacher I'm any better than any man. It's not today because I'm married that I'm better than any man. It's not because I'm a faithful father that teaches my children the fear of the Lord that I'm better than any man. The truth is today, and just like anybody else, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, nor not one. Every single one of us have rebelled against God. The need today is that each one of us look in the Bible, that precious book, the Holy Word of God, and see it for what it is, the mirror that reflects into our hearts the truth of the Word of God. You know, there's a verse that says this. It says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why is it today that sinners want to declare their sin okay? Why do we want the parliament to justify sin? Why do we want educators to justify sin? Why do we want social media to justify sin? We desire that because we want our sin to appear okay in the eyes of men. Very sadly, we're not going to give an account to men. Nobody's going to stand before the SNP. Nobody's going to stand before the conservatives. Nobody's going to stand before social media and give an account of their lives. But every single one of us is going to stand before a holy God. Friend, are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before God and give an account for your life? Not for what you say is okay, but for what God says is okay. God is the one that sets the rule. God's the one that designed us. He's the one that made us male and female. He's the one that designed marriage. He's the one that designed life in the womb. He's the God that made all these things. And we're going to stand before Him someday and give an account. I just wonder today, friend, are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on that great white throne of judgment as He looks at you with those eyes that can see the very recesses of your heart, that knows every thought that's ever been in your mind, every thought that's ever been in your heart, and knows the truth of what's there? Are you ready to give an account to that holy God? Friend, you can be ready someday. You can't take away your own sin. The Bible says, though thou wash me with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. But there's one thing that can cleanse the heart from sin, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that went to the cross and died there for you. Friend, Jesus Christ had you on His heart as He was crucified. He had you on His heart as He was dying on that place. He had you on His heart as He looked at the men that crucified Him, and He said these words. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The vast majority of people today don't know what they do. They're in sin, they're in lust and covetousness and materialism and things like that. They're in drunkenness and drink and homosexuality and lesbianism and pornography and fornication and other things like that. But God in heaven looks at them with love and says, there's one thing you need. You need my love at Calvary. You need the work that my Son did, Jesus Christ on the cross. Without that, you'll die in your sin. You'll spend eternity in a lake of fire away from me. A lot of people at their funeral, they want the shepherd's psalm read, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But I'll tell you today, if you're not following your shepherd, He's not your shepherd. You're no sheep that's in His flock. If you're not somebody today that's following Him, I'll tell you this about Jesus. The Bible says about Jesus, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Jesus Christ takes us down a path that's a righteous path. He takes us down a path that is a holy path. He takes us down a path that is a good path. I'll tell you today, friend, if you're walking in sin, that's not a good path. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. If you're walking down that path of sin is a path of destruction. It's a path that's going to end in darkness and eternity and separation away from God. You know, when people ask me about hell, they say to me, Ben, what's the worst thing about hell? I'll tell you this. God is not in hell. In life today, you've got opportunity to cry out to God for His mercy. You've got opportunity to go to God for His blessing and His help. But I'll tell you this, somebody that's in hell is there for all eternity away from God. There's no mercy there. There's no help there. There's no help there. There's no comfort there. There is no grace there. But I'll tell you this, in life, everybody has an opportunity to cry out to God for mercy and they can find it. All somebody has to do is humble their heart, look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross for them. I'll tell you this, they can find forgiveness. They can find mercy. But somebody that's in hell cannot have that. Somebody that's in hell is going to burn for all eternity there in that place of separation away from God. And I'll tell you, friend, it is a fire. Nobody laughs at those that are in a fire and mocks them and thinks that it's funny that they're there in a fire. Anybody that stood outside those towers that day that they were burning down there in London and saw the people in the windows that were there crying out for salvation, nobody would have laughed at them. Nobody would have mocked them. I'll tell you this, every time you laugh at hell, mock about hell, think hell's funny, you're laughing at the people that are there burning for all eternity away from God. Friend, God doesn't want you to go there. God wants you to have His mercy. God wants you to be forgiven. God wants you to have His peace. I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the one that can forgive you, that can take away your sin, that can cleanse you, that can give you a gift of everlasting life. God desires to do that. Again, I say today to you, my friend, the last thing God desires to do is to cast you into the lake of fire. The last thing God desires to say to you is to depart from me, cursed, to the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
God in His mercy desires you to be forgiven. God in His mercy desires you to have a gift of everlasting life. He desires to forgive you. Friends, the last thing that God wants to do is that. Why are you on your way to hell? Why have you turned your back on God? Why have you stopped teaching your children about God, the fear of God, and learning about God? The only way our kids know the name of God today, very sadly, is that they go to a sporting event, they hear that name, that precious name, taken as a curse word. They hear that name mocked. They hear that name laughed at, that name jeered. I'll tell you, it's a precious name. What name are they hearing? They're hearing the name of Jesus. They're hearing the name of Lord. They're hearing the name of Christ. They're hearing the name of God, and it's blasphemed today. Men mock the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what else is mocked. That day, that precious day, that first day of the week, the Bible calls it the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day because Jesus Christ rose from the dead on Sunday, the first day of the week. And say that the church ought to gather together, the church ought to worship God and bow down before God and acknowledge that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died for their sins. I'll tell you this, that Sunday has become a fun day. It's become a day to mock God and to live life away from God. There's no greater shopping day in our day than the Lord's Day. Oh, what a sad day we live in. You know, it's an incredible mercy of God today that doesn't despise us, that doesn't hate us, that doesn't mock us, that doesn't curse us. There's a loving God today still reaching out to us even though we are living our life in rebellion against God. Oh, what a God of love. Oh, do you know that God of love today? Again, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Oh, today, friends, remember that there's a God that loves you. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ didn't die for holy people, He didn't die for good people, He didn't die for religious people, but Jesus Christ died for people like you and like me, sinners, that have a heart that's in rebellion against God. Oh, you might look good on the outside today, but the inside of your heart, if you haven't received the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a heart of sin. There's nothing you can do about it. You just lay your head in your pillow at night and feel the guilt of it, the weight of it, the burden of it. But I'll tell you this, there's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has the power to cleanse you. It has the power to take away your sin and give you God's gift of everlasting life. Friend, it is a gift. It's not something that we can earn. You don't earn Christ by being religious or doing good works or anything like that. By the works of the flesh, by the works of the law, there can no flesh be justified in His sight. It's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through the work that He did. Friends, He loves you today. He cares about you. He wants you to have His gift. He wants you to be forgiven. The rain that's coming down today is a blessing from God. It's a gift from God. The God that gave you this water from above is the God that desires to give you the water of life. He has the power to forgive you. He has the power to cleanse you. He can give you hope where you have no hope. He can give you peace where you have no peace. I'll tell you this. Gambling doesn't satisfy. Drugs don't satisfy. Drink don't satisfy. Immorality doesn't satisfy. But I'll tell you, there's a God in heaven that satisfies. A lot of people walking by this place today are addicted to sin. Gambling has ruined your family. Gambling has ruined your life. It's putting you into debt and deeper debt and deeper debt. And that's what sin does. Somebody goes to the bottle, they go to drink, and it becomes more and more a part of their life. It hurts their health, it hurts their finance, it hurts their life. But I'll tell you this, there's a God in heaven that desires to set you free. Jesus Christ can set you free from drugs. He can set you free from drink. He can set you free from any addiction because He has the power over sin. Friend, that's what you need. You're bowing down to sin. The Bible says, His servants ye are, whose servants you yield yourself unto to obey, whether sin unto death or of obedience unto Christ. Friend, I tell you, yield to God. Turn away from the darkness, turn to the light. Jesus Christ is the light of this world. Jesus Christ came to expose the sin of this world so that we would understand the danger of our condition against God, so that we would find Jesus Christ as our life, Jesus Christ as His Savior, Jesus Christ as the one that died for us to set us free. Friend, God desires you to have that. Oh, God is not against you, but God is for you. A lot of people today say, friend, if I came into your church, lightning would strike or something like that, I'll tell you this, heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance. Friend, the greatest desire in the heart of God is that you would turn from your sin to the Savior. Turn away from your drink. Turn away from your drugs. Turn away from your immorality. Turn away from your lies. Turn away from your covetousness. Turn away from your profanity and taking God's name in vain. And look in mercy to God and cry out something like the man of God in the Bible that said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake." That man needed the hope of God. He needed the hope of God. And I'll tell you, friend, he found it. Jesus Christ said about that man went away justified. But there's a lot of people looking at their life like others in the Bible that said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, unjust, extortioners, or things like that. I meet plenty of people. They say to me, Ben, I'm a good person. They defend it by saying, I've never murdered anybody. I've never committed adultery. I'll tell you this, there's a lot of other sins in the Bible other than murder and adultery. And I'll tell you this, you're committing them daily, you're committing them hourly, and your heart is against God. The Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. A lot of people say, well, Ben, I'm a good person. Well, have you ever told a lie? How many lies does somebody have to tell before they become a liar? How many murders do you have to commit before you become a murderer? It's just one. Every single one of us is in that same boat. We're in rebellion against God. The wages of sin is death, but there's a God in heaven again that's reaching out in mercy, desiring to save you. Oh, friend, do you know the mercy of God? Do you know the grace of God? Do you know the goodness of God? Jesus Christ died so that you could live. Jesus Christ died so that you could be forgiven. Again, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, Jesus Christ didn't die for good people. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Friend, I'll tell you, there's hope for you. There's hope in the Bible. You might say to me, Ben, I don't know where to begin to read in the Bible. It's a big book. I'll just encourage you. Pick up the book of John. It says in the book of John that these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Jesus Christ wants you to have life. Jesus Christ wants you to have hope. Jesus Christ wants you to have peace. But you can't have it if you keep living life your own way. If you keep living in rebellion against God, keep following down the path of sin and of wickedness and immorality and adultery and fornication and a heart that is against God. And again, you might be somebody, you're not shacked up with somebody else. You're not living in sexual sin. You're not given to the bottle. You're not given to immorality or things like that. But I'll tell you this again, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. Friend, an atheist is a person that never thanks God for their food, never thanks God for their family, never thanks God for his goodness. I just ask you today, is that a good person? Is a good person somebody that's unthankful, somebody that never gives glory to the Creator that gave them everything that they possess? And the truth is today, every single one of us is against God. It's only those that yield to God, to the grace of God, to the goodness of God, not just knowing that God is their Creator, but knowing the God who is their Savior. Oh, friend, do you know Jesus Christ today? Has there ever been a time in your life where you bowed the knee and you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a time where you looked at the cross and you understood that the Christ died for you, that he paid the price so that you could be forgiven? Again, God desires you to have that today. God does not want you to die and go to hell, but don't be deceived today. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man doeth, that shall he also reap. You can't sow sin in your marriage and reap life. You can't sow sin with your children and reap life. You can't sow sin in your job and reap life. I'll tell you this, if you're living a life of lie, lust, covetousness, materialism, you're living a life that is degraded, you're living a life that is dead, you're living a life that has no life in it because you don't know the God of life. But there's a God in heaven that wants to change that. There's a God that desires to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. Jesus Christ did not come to die on the cross to make our life miserable. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross so that our life could be made everything that God desires it to be as we receive the mercy of God, as we receive the forgiveness of God. Oh, friend, won't you become like a child that just looks up and says, you know what, I believe that. I believe in God. I believe in the goodness of God. I believe in the grace of God. I believe in the mercy of God. I believe in the forgiveness of God. We live in a day that is so smart they become fools. We live in a day that so-called science. We live in a day where people bow down to the feet of science and say, I worship science. And they say, I believe in millions and millions of years. I believe in science. And I'll tell you this. Science says that there's a man and there's a woman. Do they believe that? Science says that life is in the womb and that there's a precious child. Do they believe that? It's interesting. They say, I believe science when it goes, they say, with their ideology. But they reject science when it violates their ideology. We live in a society that is against God by choice. Oh, it's not because there's not a witness today. You know, the water cycle that's going on right now as the rain comes down, God designed that. The water evaporates out of the sea. It goes up over the land. It comes down into the burns and the rivers and the streams, and it makes its way back into the sea, and it goes up. And that water cycle is something that God designed. We know what the date is today. And we know there's 365 days in a year, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, and all this. Why does it work so well? Why is it so organized? I'll tell you this. It's because there is a God. The Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God designed this. That's why it shouts that there is a God. That's why, friend, there's nobody like you. Nobody with your personality, nobody with your individuality, nobody with your character traits. There is nobody else like you in the world. If we're the process of random chance, I'll tell you, there would be many of you, but there's only one, and that's because God designed you. Oh, friend, do you know your designer? Do you know your creator? Do you know the one that made you, that gave you the gift of life? I'll tell you today, that same God is reaching out to you in love and saying, I want to give you my life. I want to give you my hope. I want to give you my peace. Oh, friend, do you have it? Friend, don't go through life without God. Don't go through life without the one that died on the cross for your sin, the one that made a way for you to be forgiven. Don't continue on a path of destruction. Don't continue to lose your family to sin, your marriage to sin, your children to sin. Stop the trend that's so common here in Scotland and pick up a Bible and begin to read it and begin to understand that God in His love made you, that God in His love designed you, that God in His love sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. Why would God do that? Why would God care that much? A lot of people say to me, Ben, God doesn't love me. I'll just look at you and say, look, God does love you. There's no way that God would send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin if God didn't care about you. If God didn't want you to become His child. And I'll tell you this, I'm not here today preaching a religion. I'm here preaching a relationship. I am preaching that you can know God as your Father. You know, the Bible said, Jesus said to somebody, He said, you're of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning. I'll just say, your life may be characterized by lies, but God wants to make your life characterized by truth. The Bible says about Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is true. That's why the devil is promoting lies. That's why truth is under attack in our day. Friend, you may not be a Christian, but you would agree with me and say, Ben, we're losing our liberty, we're losing our freedom, we're losing the right to speak and to say certain things. Why is that happening? It is happening because men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. It's because the light dispels darkness. I'll tell you, this book, this precious book that God gave us is a book that testifies about what marriage is. It is a book that testifies about what gender identity is. It is a book that testifies about where life begins, that it begins in the womb. This book has a voice, and it is the voice of God, and it speaks with authority. You might say to me, Ben, I don't know how to handle it. My kids are being taught all sorts of rubbish in the school. My grandkids are being taught all sorts of rubbish in the schools. I know it's wrong, but our world says you can't say anything about it. Ben, what do I do? I just encourage you, get the voice back. Get the authority back. Where is it? It's in the Bible. It's in what God says. God says male and female created He them. God says marriage is between one man and one woman, and it's for life. God says that life begins in the womb, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that life is a gift from God, that it's murder to take the life of any person, any individual, no matter what age that person may be. And I'll tell you this, there is authority, but it's with God. Oh, friend, will you get back to the Bible? Will you give God's Word a voice and begin to speak up for God and to speak the truth of the Word of God? I'll tell you, it's not hard to understand this book. How hard is it today to understand the first verse of the Bible, which says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, friend, God designed us. God made a way for us to have life, physical life. But I'll tell you, better than that. God made a way for us to have everlasting life. Again, it's not difficult today to understand what the Word of God says. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, is that hard to understand? No, it's not. It's not hard to understand that God loves you today, that His Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sins. It's not hard to understand that He cries out to you today to be forgiven. The Bible says it this way, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. Friend, are you hearing the God of heaven knocking at your heart's door speaking to you about His truth, speaking to you about His love, speaking to you about His mercy. Oh, He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. If it wasn't for that today, all those that fly a flag in the face of a holy God would be destroyed by the wrath of God, but they're not, because there's a God that remembers His promise. There's a God that remembers that He is going to be patient, that He's going to wait, that He's not going to judge you now, because He doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to save you. He doesn't want to cast you into hell. He wants to give you His mercy. He wants to rescue you from the sin that's destroying your life. Oh, friend, if you stop and think about it, what are the things that destroy? The things that destroy our sin. It's the vices. If our society cared really about life, we'd look at the laws about alcohol. We'd look at the laws about drink. We'd look at the age of drink. We'd look at things like that. But instead of that, where is the attack today? I'll tell you this. The attack is against God's Word. The attack is against the Bible. The hate crime legislation that's come out, anybody that can think about it understands, it's an attack against the Word of God. It's an attack against those that believe the book. And I'll just tell you this. Why aren't we dealing with vice? Why aren't we dealing with alcohol? Why aren't we dealing with drugs? Why aren't we dealing with immorality and fornication and pornography that our kids are imbibing on their phones? Why are we attacking marriage? Why are we attacking life? It's backwards society. Why? It's because of what the Word of God says. It says this, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So what is the plan? Put out the light? Put out the truth? Get rid of it, bring darkness to bear, so that we can say anything will go in marriage, anything will go in life. We attack the truth, get rid of the truth, and I'll tell you, friend, it's time to get back to the Bible. It's time to stand up with the Word of God and to look at what it says about marriage, to look at what it says about life, to look at what it says about gender identity, to understand that there's a God in heaven that designed us and made us, that sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Oh, I praise God today for the power of the gospel. I praise God today for the power that He has to penetrate the hardest heart of any sinner with the truth of His Word, to let them know about His love, to let them know about His mercy, to let them know about His grace. Friend, there's no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved. It's only Jesus Christ. It's not a religion. Salvation is not in Islam. Salvation is not in Catholicism. Salvation is not in Jehovah's Witnesses. Salvation is not in being a Baptist. Salvation is not in any religion. Salvation is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Friend, the Bible says about Jesus, it says, He that hath the Son hath life. He that's not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. I think many people, even religious people, that will say that nobody can know for sure if they die, they go to heaven. That's not why Jesus died. I tell you this, Jesus Christ died so that people could have a no-so salvation, not a I think so, not a I hope so, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm on my way to heaven. The Bible says this, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Friend, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, you don't have life. If you die, you'll spend eternity away from God in hell. God doesn't want you to do that. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Friend, has there ever been a time in your life where you bowed the knee before God? When you looked at the cross, you understood that the Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on that cross for your sin. That He paid a price for you to be born again. That He paid a price for you to have His gift of everlasting life. A time when you humbled your heart, got on your knees, and in faith said to God, Dear God, I don't understand why You love me so much that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. But I put my faith in Him. Oh God, would You save me? Would You give me Your gift of everlasting life? Friend, God's not against you. You can do that today. You can cry out. The Bible says this, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, friend, you could be the greatest sinner in Edinburgh today, but I'll tell you this, there's mercy for you. There's hope for you. There's a God in heaven in love reaching out to you. Oh, friend, do you know Him today? Oh, it's so sad today that God is like this and reaching out, yet there's so many people not just pulling back, but they're looking at God like this. They despise God. They hate God. Just think about it. Friends, nobody hates Santa Claus. Why? He doesn't exist. But they hate God. Why? Because he's real. You don't hate somebody that's not there. Our world hates God because he exists. Our world hates God because he's real, that he has made a way for them to be forgiven. He's made a way for them to have his gift of everlasting life. And yet, they don't just casually ignore him today, but they hate and despise God. Oh, friend, is that you today? Oh, I'll tell you, there's a God of mercy. There's a God of love. And he's reaching out to you. The greatest desire on the heart of God today is that you bow the knee before him and receive what he desires to give you. You might think to me today, simply, Ben, the last thing I want to do is bow before God. But I'll just tell you, if you bow to God, he gives you life. If you bow to God, he gives you forgiveness. If you bow to God, he gives you cleansing. How does he do it? He does it through Christ. His son, Jesus, that died on the cross for your sin. If you look at the cross and you understand that the Savior died and paid the price for you to be forgiven, that he made a way of mercy, that he made a way of forgiveness, that he made a way of love. Oh, friend, he's the God that has that power today to forgive you. He has the power to cleanse you. He has the power to take away your sin and give you his gift of everlasting life. God wants to take you from a path that's taken you to hell and take you to a path that will take you to glory with him. Oh, friend, this life is not all that there is. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. If you get 70 years, that's pretty good. If you get 80, that's pretty good. But it's just a little bit of time. But I'll tell you this, it's the only amount of time that we get to prepare ourselves for eternity. Oh, friend, are you using it today? Are you getting yourself ready to stand before God? You know for sure if you die, if you go to heaven. Has there ever been a time where you put your faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for your sin? I tell you, the greatest thing that you can do is receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Father, the weather is inclement today. If there's a message that needs to be heard, I pray for the grace of God for the people of Edinburgh. I pray, God, for Scotland to have a revival. I pray, oh God, for an awakening in this nation. I pray for many to be saved, for life to be changed, for families to be restored, and for God to be glorified. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.